Here is David Holler, who comes to us from North Carolina. He, I think most people know him from the Handbook of Children with Special Needs, Special Healthcare Needs, which is a Springer publication. And he works in the Pfeiffer University system in North Carolina. And today he's going to be talking to us about the NHIS. System.
All right, thank you. My topic deals with general cardiovascular risk profile developed by Ralph D'Agostino's group at Boston University, and I looked at applying it to the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey data over the Healthy People 2010 decade, specifically looking at patterns for persons with varying types of disabilities as compared to persons without disabilities in the surveys. I have no relationships to disclose. Actually, that's not my dog. We have an Irish setter. My daughter's better at taking photos of the Irish setter. He usually jumps on me when I try to take it. So that's the clip art dog. Started working with the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey through a paper published in the Disability and Health Journal earlier this year looking at allostatic load. Cumulative biological risk or burden or physiological stress encountered in lifestyle and the body's attempt to compensate. This kind of emerged from some work by Teresa Seaman and Bruce McEwen's groups looking at allostatic load and some interesting methods for evaluating physiological stress and its effect on longevity and lifespan and morbidity and mortality. The previous work found increased risk for morbidity and secondary conditions due to allostatic load. Persons with mobility limitations and functioning and assistive devices were at heightened risk. Persons with disabilities had worse measures on the five allostatic load measures than persons without disabilities, and there was a general allostatic load decrease across the decade except for body mass index. Nevertheless, because of the cross-sectional nature of the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, no causal relationship to the Healthy People 2010 goals could be established. The work that I'm looking at using NHANES looks at the ICF domains and the interplay of social and clinical measures of health and functioning. Similarly, looks at Healthy People 2010 goals. Of course, currently with the NHANES data, we're into Healthy People 2020 goals at this point. The Healthy People 2020 goals, in a lot of ways, mirror the ICF in terms of looking at physical, social, and biological measures of health and functioning. The research needs that I identify in working with this database and looking at persons with disabilities is to try to find a more comprehensive integrated health information to promote positive outcomes. And this goes along with what the other presenters have noted. Also, the NIDER long-range plan, the Interagency Subcommittee on Disability Statistics, and a lot of the workshops they've had over the years looking at improving disability statistics, and also the CDC Disability and Health Data System. The present study I'm describing today, again, Ralph D'Agostino, a mathematician at Boston University, their team developed actually a couple predictive models for cardiovascular risk using Framingham Heart Study data. The variables are present in the five waves of the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey for the Healthy People 2010 decade. And I didn't realize it until a few months ago, Ralph D'Agostino has done some work with the disability research community as well. So what he has developed is a general cardiovascular risk profile. And their paper was published in Circulation in 2008. outlining their two models and how to actually compute a generalized risk profile. The components of the generalized cardiac risk profile include a person's age, total cholesterol, high-density lipoprotein, HDL cholesterol, systolic blood pressure, as well as if the person is a smoker or has diabetes. Also, the models differentiate based on gender. The models include a risk points model, which runs from minus 3 to 15 across measures, a little bit different for women and for men. Actually, for men, it can actually go up to 18. From the points model, percent risk is calculated, and then an estimate of heart age in years. The alternative model they used was a Cox regression model that basically has an algorithm where you take values of age, dichotomous variables for smoking or diabetes, and then systolic blood pressure, cholesterol, and HDL cholesterol, and just plug it in to get an estimate of the 10-year cardiovascular disease risk. That's a typo on the acronym there. Looking at the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey data, there were 5 data collection waves over the Healthy People 2010 decade. Overall, 52,000 persons, approximately 10 to 11,000 per year sample of persons with and without disabilities. And the data is freely accessible at the CDC National Center for Health Statistics data website. The measures of disability status used in the previous paper that appeared in the Disability Health Journal and also for this study, among other measures that could have been used were hearing with the variable indicated, vision, memory, physical, mental, emotional limitations, functioning in terms of walking, being able to walk up 10 steps. And again, these are self-report measures, so there's some limitation there. Bending or kneeling problems, lifting or carrying, and use of assistive devices. For several of the variables, such as hearing, vision, memory, physical, mental, emotional, and assistive devices, responses were yes or no, so they were dichotomously scored. For the other variables, particularly for several of the mobility, individuals who responded much difficulty or unable to do or do not do this activity was indicated as disability status. The model variables for the D'Agostino general cardiac risk profile included systolic blood pressure. It took the average of 3 of 5 systolic blood pressure reports in the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. HDL cholesterol, total cholesterol, also self-reports of smoking status, diabetes, person's age, their gender. Also, as an allostatic load variable, actually not within Seaman and McEwen's original allostatic load model, number of close friends to look at social capital, since Zeman and McEwen identified having fewer than 3 friends was significantly associated with increased morbidity and mortality. One limitation in the analysis, there wasn't a good variable for indicating indicating blood pressure treatment. So that's one qualifier here that was used in the D'Agostino models. Analysis used independent samples t-test, primarily analysis of variance, one-way analyses of variance to compare the additional number of friends variable, but also to look across categories of disability versus persons without disabilities. The statistics I report will include raw numbers, but the statistical analyses will be the weighted statistics using the NHANES guidelines. There are some limitations in the database with the reporting of minorities, particularly for Hispanics. There was a change in the way the variables were coding beginning, I believe, in 1994. At that point, so therefore, any interpretation of Hispanic would be limited to Mexican Americans in this particular analysis. So research questions that I asked were, do persons with and without disabilities significantly differ on the GCRP or generalized cardiac risk profile estimates? How do persons with different disabilities compare on the GCRP? And what is the combined impact of social capital, having 3 or less than 3 friends, and disability on the GCRP? overall, the demographics over the five data collection waves in NHANES during the Healthy People 2010 decade included approximately 2.3% hearing disabilities, 14% vision, 4.6% memory disabilities, 1.5% physical, mental, emotional, 1.3%, 5.9%, 3.5% for various mobility disabilities, 5.3% indicated using assistive devices. Overall, the demographics were about even male-female, 23.4% African-American, 24.3% Mexican-American, and a little over 40% Caucasian. There is oversampling of minorities in the NHANES. Breaking down by disability over the five data collection periods, I apologize for this maze of numbers here, but relatively even, with some exceptions for hearing, at least identified in the NHANES, fewer females with disabilities identified with hearing disability across the five data collection points. Similarly for minorities, additionally, minorities were higher on vision, reporting visual disabilities across the five data collection periods. So those are some of the general statistical patterns across the five data collection periods. Now, looking at the Cox model for the 10% risk using their Cox regression model algorithm, looking at no disabilities versus the eight types of disabilities and then the total, the approach to looking at another maze of data here for this table, and again, I apologize for all the numbers, looking at the means row for no disabilities as compared to hearing and bending and kneeling, lifting, carrying, and so on with the other disabilities. Persons with disabilities consistently are higher than persons without disabilities and significantly so across the five data collection periods. Second to last column, looking at 2009, the means there for hearing, bending, and kneeling disabilities almost twice as high as persons without disabilities, but generally across the board higher for persons with disabilities than without disabilities for 10% risk for cardiovascular disease. For the heart vascular age, which is obtained from the point model that they used, a similar type of pattern with no disabilities in the first row, approximately heart vascular age 53.3 in 2001 through 2009, 52.5. But for the various categories of disability, high 50s into the 70s. Now, bearing in mind here, we're looking at there might be slight differences between persons' age, between persons with and without disabilities in the sample across the five data collection periods. So one thing D'Agostino didn't perform in their paper that I decided to do was to look at the heart age differential. So basically taking the age of the person and then just subtracting what the heart vascular age is from their algorithm. And so looking at those types of statistics from the previous slide, a positive value or a positive mean would indicate that you're older than your cardiovascular age as predicted by the model. Negative value would mean that your heart is older than you from the model. So, and again, these are mean differential statistics for each group. So in general, for even persons without disabilities as compared to persons with disabilities, the differential was greater for persons with disabilities with the exception of hearing disabilities. And in some cases, persons with hearing disabilities had a positive overall had a positive mean, which is very, very good if the statistics are valid. However, for other disabilities, and particularly for mobility disabilities, bending, kneeling, lifting and carrying, assisted devices, being able to walk up 10 steps, there were significant differences, significantly negative differentials in heart age as compared to actual age. Looking at social capital, as I mentioned, Teresa Zeman's group found that individuals with fewer than three friends were at significantly greater risk for morbidity and mortality. Also, similar findings were found in more of a more qualitative study by Fowler and Christakis using Framingham Heart Study participants. So looked at the combination of four categories: disability with less than three friends, disability with three or more friends, no disability with less than three friends, no disability with three plus friends, and looked at both the heart age and the 10% year risk. I don't report differentials here, but the patterns were generally pretty much the same, but we have that data as well if you're interested. So the NHANES does not report social capital data for 2009, so that's a limitation here, so we're only looking at four data collection waves. So the results across different disabilities is a lot murkier here, so it's very difficult to interpret. In general, here looking just at persons who report hearing disabilities, the having fewer than three friends, there is a statistical difference, but really for the most part, the difference appears to be between just in general having fewer than three friends and having three or more friends. So there's not a clear breakout of disability status on this, for at least for persons with who report hearing disabilities. With vision, the slightly higher, significant but slightly higher reporting of heart age and 10% cardiovascular, 10-year percent risk of cardiovascular disease for persons with disabilities, hearing, vision disabilities, and less than three friends, fairly consistent across the four data collection waves, higher in 2007. So there's significant difference there for whatever reason, but something that we will be further exploring. With memory disabilities, according to the NHANES data, higher in terms of negative outcomes for heart age and 10% year, 10-year percent risk for cardiovascular disease for having disability and less than three friends across the four data collection waves. For walking up 10 steps, that's less clear, a significant difference, but that seems to break out a little bit more, a little stranger in terms of having disability less than three friends, so no disability more than three friends. So that's not very clear on what's happening, at least there, comparing persons who reported difficulty walking up 10 steps as compared to persons without disabilities. So this was another of the analyses that was just not very clear, that's giving contradictory results. In terms of bending or kneeling, that's a little better in terms of looking at a distinction, having fewer than three friends with a disability and having, particularly addressing bending or kneeling issues. The heart age is about the same for having fewer or more friends, although the 10% risk is a little different. So there are some differences between these two scales in terms of how you interpret them. So the validity of the scales need further examination. Similarly, for assistive devices, a little higher, but for disability, it seems to break out here more on disability against no disability, but the friends variable doesn't seem to have that much of an effect. So conclusions, it's a little inconclusive on the social capital variables. Persons with varying disabilities had significantly higher general cardiac risk profile estimates for both models over the healthy people 2010 decade without the social capital variable brought into play. Persons with mobility disabilities had the highest GCRP estimates. Persons with hearing or physical, mental, emotional disabilities had lower heart age differentials than persons without disabilities. Persons with disabilities who had fewer than three friends in general had higher GCRP estimates, but again, that's somewhat inconclusive, and there are contradictory results between the two scales. Study limitations, cross-sectional nature of the study, so you can't conclude anything longitudinally here. There is a small N for some clinical measures, and that's further compounded when you bring in the social capital variable, and that might explain some of the inconclusive results there. There's a need to further examine multiple disabilities. There's wide variance and outliers on some measures. There's need to further examine racial and gender differences. And we have some of our MHA students are going to be looking at this database and looking at those issues as we move forward with the study. Also, there's missing data due to cross-linking of data, as I mentioned, plus small cell sizes. In some cases, a little less than 20, generally in double digits, but still small in some comparisons on social capital. Also, the self-report nature of some of the reporting in terms of type of disability and also smoking or diabetes. Policy implementations, general cardiac risk profiles, and allostatic load are useful tools for monitoring and improving health outcomes. We need to do more work in terms of validating these scales and seeing how they apply in a longitudinal sense for populations of persons with disabilities. The interface of disability and social capital, while mostly inconclusive here, I think is worth further exploration in various databases. And as we use the ICF and Healthy People 2010-2020 biopsychosocial models, these stress their needs for comprehensive social, psychological, and clinical data to improve health. So thank you.